You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey.
Hey, guys. This is Bria.
And Corey.
And we don't have a name for our podcast.
We don't.
Because we're not going to force it.
Mm-mm.
It's going to come when it needs to.
Yeah.
So just know.
Yep. It's just us.
This is all the spot. Now I get what people say. Yeah. Like, I understand, like, when I hear radio, like, there was this episode of Black Ink Chicago, and I don't watch it anymore. But when I was, like, Charmaine, she just got on the radio, and she was on there, like, just went blank, and her boss was looking at her like, girl, you got all this personality. You don't have anything to say. No shade towards her, but I kind of get it.
Yeah, it's a little weird, but fun still. Just
and
learning.
Here we go.
All right.
So, just a little background. I'm Bria here. I'm 25, and me and VC met. Well, you can say how old you are.
And I'm. You gonna call me VC or Corey?
I don't know. It's just weird calling you Corey. Like after I save it in my mind, it's like VC. And I don't mean to put y'all.
Look, that's his name.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I'm gonna have to start calling you Corey. My bad. I met her as VC, but it's Corey.
Yes, yes. Well, we work at a school, so that puts it into perspective of why we call each other by the last name, even though everybody calls her Bria.
Yeah.
Nobody calls her by her last name, but hey, it is what it is. And I am Corey, VC, obviously. I'm 32. And what else was I supposed to say?
Let's talk about how we met.
Okay. So we work at a school and
a high school.
A high school, yeah,
in the city.
And last year we were two schools. So we knew each other, but we didn't get a chance to get close or, you know, be friends or talk really that much. So this year we're working a lot closer together and it's just my homie. Like she just I can't even really explain it. Like she just came in, sat down one day. We got to talking and we were just like, like everything was just like, it just flowed. Like I had been knowing her my whole life. Like we've not really been acquainted too long, maybe since like July, June,
mm-hmm.
But we've laughed together. We've cried together. Like it. Yeah. It's just, that's bae.
And one thing that we realized last night is that, like, I'm a Virgo, she's a Libra, and my moon is in Libra, and we both have Sag rising. Her moon is in Gemini. And it's crazy because when we first met, like, sometime last school year, it just clicked, like, automatically. I just was like, dang, she's cool as hell. She seems, like, really genuine. And I'm the kind of person, either I like you or I don't really care. I don't really dislike too many people. But, yeah, so...
and so we met up last night to kind of like make a, you know, an outline of what we would talk about or how this would go, and we just get into these like deep life-changing conversations, and we kind of didn't even, we were just like, oh yeah, it's gonna flow. So we're in here and we're a little bit I don't want to say uncomfortable, but we just kind of looking at each other like, so what's next?
Right.
What are we gonna say after this?
Okay, so one thing I was writing on this morning that Corey said yesterday was that she saw somebody and was listening to something or whatever, and it said they wrote down like in the morning, like what is God saying, like just making space for God to come in, spirit to come in, whatever you look at that as. I was raised in church all my life growing up, and once I got older, I allowed my mind to be open to a lot of other things, and so whether that be spirit, universe, your ancestors, whatever. I'm just really thankful for all that. So this morning I actually did that for the first time ever and was just like wrote down spirit says, but also started because today is December 1st. And I wrote down just some intentions that I had for this month. Because it's crazy. I was thinking lately about, the new year of 2018, and I was with my friends. Like it was cool. Like we had music, you know what I'm saying? It was cool. A lot of the things that I put, like we all made vision boards, and a lot of things I put on my vision board didn't manifest in the way that I thought it was going to, but everything happens for a reason. And so we prayed before we started this, and we were talking about the season that we're in, and we were just saying that like we want to be vessels for whatever it is that spirit that God has to say at this moment for this current season that we're in. And I think December is just going to bring, I know December is bringing like unfolding a lot, because a lot of things that we both have been realizing and delivered from and releasing. Like I feel like I released everything that I needed to during last month. And I feel like now it's like, okay, you released all that. Now you're coming into what you need to be coming into.
Yes. And people always want to say like, oh, I want to start the new year with a fresh perspective or with a new attitude. But it's like, why wait till but why wait until the new year? Like, let's just get started right now. Whenever it happens, if it's April, if it's December 30th and you decide you want to change, like, don't wait those 2 days. Just go ahead and do it. Because I think that, a lot of times the enemy will make us feel like, oh, well, I need to start on Monday. And then we lose momentum. And so by Monday, you like, kind of fuck that shit. Mm-hmm. But as Bria was saying, I also feel like God's just been closing so many doors. And, you know, my season is a stretch. So I spent probably a week kind of pissed off, like, God, I've been do enough. Like, come on. It's time for, and because he told me that I wouldn't like it. He told me that it wouldn't be comfortable for me. And so I've, in the past, tried to shy away from opportunities that from things that I might not like or it might be uncomfortable. It just popped in my mind when I was delivering Nia. And she was like a 9-pound baby. So I'm talking about heavy. It was painful. It was hot. She was born in July. And that year we had like a blackout. It was no air. I just remember being at my mama's house in the dark in my bra, crying on the couch because I'm just hot and I can't help it. And so every day I was trying to go to the doctor. I was calling the doctor like, hey, my feet swollen. He like, nope. I'll see you next week at your appointment. I was just trying to get anything to like get him to like, come on, let's get this started. Right. I need to get this baby up out of me. I'm tired of this. I couldn't like sit down to use the bathroom. It was like she was on the nerve or something. It hurt. And so I woke up. I took a nap. I woke up. My hands were swollen. I called the doctor. I said, my hands, they're really big. Like my whole body is swelling up. He said, come on in. Let's see what we're going to do. You probably having this baby today. So bring your bag. And I was like, yes. Mm-hmm. And I got up in there. And they started the medicine to get my labor started. But when the doctor came in to try to give me an epidural so that I wouldn't feel it, I was just having, it was something. Like, I don't know if I was too swollen. He kind of couldn't get it. And so I was feeling all of that. And I was like, okay. I know it's probably too late, but can I just go home? Never mind. I don't want to have a baby today. This hurt. And it's like, nope. Ain't nothing you could do. And then they were like, so the pain got to the point where it was so bad that I was just like, please give me a C-section. Like, I can't take it no more. And they were like, okay, we're going to do it, but we got an emergency. So you got to wait because you're not in any distress. And I was like, okay.
Nigga.
Yeah, I know. And I'm just sitting there holding on the side of the bed. You know, my sister was with me and she's like, you know, my sister is like my godly example. She like, you know, really just in the prayer. She in the spirit. She like, come on, God, take this pain away. She rubbing me and massaging me and doing all this other stuff. And then they came in and they was like, all right, we're ready for you. We're about to take you to the operating room. And in that moment, the fear that I had, that was like, I don't care. I take this pain because I know that you about to take me in that room and my insides going to be sprawled all out over the table. Why are you trying to get this baby out? And I was like, wait a minute. Never mind. I don't want to do it. I was like, can we just keep her in for a little while longer? Like, it's okay. I ain't tripping no more. I ain't swole. Look, it went away.
I had some salt last night. I had fries. That's what happened.
But I had to face it because it's right there. It's nothing I could do. There's no turning back. And so I feel like that's now. God is like, hey. You said you wanted this. So I got you up in here and I'm like, wait a minute, brother. Mm-hmm. I ain't trying to be uncomfortable. I don't want to be embarrassed. I ain't trying to be rejected. Like all the things I feel like in the season that he's moving me to, all the things that I've tried to avoid up until this point are things that's going to be slapping me in my face every day. And so this season is getting me prepared for that. This season is like clearing those hurdles and, you know, knocking down those walls and closing those doors to be like, hey, you're going to experience this, this, and this. And you're going to live. Like, just like my insides will sprawl all out on that table. And now they're not. I'm walking around. I'm a whole person. Like,
and
my insides
even in that,
back
there was
in.
New life came from that.
New
and it's like,
life
new life
came from that. Come on. Come on. A whole word. Here we go.
And you know, it's so funny because thank you for sharing that because you never shared that with me before. But I feel like...
Oh, I got more,
bro,
sister.
Like, it's so crazy how, like, the things that happens in life, right? Because, like I said earlier, I'm 25. I have yet to be in a relationship. And in my household, like, my parents got divorced. My parents' parents got divorced. Like, there was just, like, a lot of dysfunction, a lot of unhealthy relationships. But I learned so much from them. And it's like, lately, it's been like, Bria, I need you to release all this stuff that's like no longer serving you. All this stuff that you just carrying baggage. You just carrying unnecessary stuff. Like when you told me, like I said, we work at a high school. We both help so many kids. And I love my job. I love most of the time. I love my babies. But I realized that I was overextending myself. I was self-sacrificing so much. And I was like, dang, you realize that. I hear some people say like, oh, I want to move. I'm tired of this place. I'm tired of these people. But if you don't fix where you are right now and you don't like look within and all this kind of stuff, then you're just not going to, it's not going to work. Like it doesn't matter what you release if you haven't released those old patterns and if you haven't like dealt with what you need to deal with to move into the new. And so go ahead.
I was just saying we being transparent because I just burped and I don't know if they can edit that out. And I don't want y'all to be like, did she burp? Sorry, I'm drinking some coffee. I apologize. Excuse me.
You're good. But like lately, like I said, I haven't been in a relationship and everything. And one thing that I've been realizing is like to be in a relationship with myself for real, for real. And I used to say that like, oh no. First I used to say it, just saying it, trying to front like, no, I don't want a man.
But
like,
you don't even know what that really means.
Girl, like, like I just,
you get out here and be like,
oh. Yes. Like, honey, a tall, like 6'4". I'm like, Lord is going to bless me with a 6'4", tall, dark man. With a nice full beard, not style and all this kind of stuff. But it's like, okay, Bria, are you actually ready for that? Do you really, like, you know, relationships need communication. I did not realize that for a long time. Like, my first roommate in college, I did not realize until I had to share a space. Couldn't get away from somebody, like, had to be in a space. And I'm thankful for that now. But at first, it was uncomfortable. And it was like, no, you need to learn to communicate. You didn't see that. You know what you want. I told you what I'm going to give you. But you're not ready for that right now. And so, okay, go ahead. Keep on trying to pursue this. Keep on trying to, like, getting your feelings about him and trying to make this work and creating all these fairy tales for these people. But you're not ready for that. And I'm going to hide your heart because you're not ready for that. And I don't have you. You're not about to be all bitter and, like, these niggas and all this kind of stuff. Because when I was a little girl, even though I didn't see it, I knew that I was going to be in love. Like, I knew it. It was like, oh, that's happening for me. And I'm not getting divorced. I'm not, which now I feel weird about marriage. Like, I don't know if how I feel about that just yet, but I don't know. I just know that right now I'm in a moment of my life of like really making a decision. Like, Bria, are you really going to tap into what I have for you? Are you going to receive it? You going to catch this or not?
So I feel like this is kind of like a parallel universe. It's so weird because at 25, I was pregnant with my second child. Got married, like in a relationship with this guy, feeling like, you know, and it's all the things. It's like, you know, I got a home and I'm going grocery shopping and couponing and doing all this grown up stuff or things that you feel like are grown up things. And I got divorced last year. It's coming up on a year in February. Hallelujah. And but for that experience, like first of all, let me go backwards because I'm sitting here, I'm listening to you talking and God is just telling me like, you the yoke breaker, you gonna be the one, you gonna be the one. Like, your kid's not gonna have the same conversation about you. Of course your kid's gonna say something. They're gonna be like, my mama was blank blank blank, whatever it is, but it's not gonna be the same story that you've been telling. So we want to just thank God for that word right now, because once you get it, you gonna have it. It's going to be there because you're doing all the work right now. Like, I just think about where I was at your age and how immature I was and how I made decisions, you know, based on fear and wrong thinking and all of that other stuff. Now I see how God worked everything together to get me to this point where I am now. And it was something that I needed to experience. But like, I never would have been in a space to, at that age, to be like, oh, even though I was doing things that I thought were grown up things, I was doing it in a very childish way. So I just want to commend you for taking that time to step back and say, oh, wait a minute, I need to make sure Bria is all together before I step into that, or just going to pursue what you want without thinking about what it requires of you for the other person. Because that's real love. Like, that's you loving your spouse before you even meet your spouse, to be like, I want to be the best that I can be for you. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want you just pouring into me. I don't want you just doing for me. I don't want you just loving on me. I want to be able to love on you. I want to be able to pour into you. I want you to be like, dang, I'm a better man because of her. Mm-hmm. Look at my boo. Like, yes. So I feel like you're going to have that. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for myself, because yeah. I know we both going to have it. Amen in mm-hmm. Jesus' name.
But you know what? It's crazy. And I thank you for saying that. But at the same time, like, sometimes I feel like that. Other times I'm just like, look, okay, you know, you want to get cute. You want to cuddle. You want to be, you know what I'm saying? You want that. And it's like, lately, one thing that I noticed, like, in the last 2-3 weeks, for real, was that a lot of my decision making was really made out of fear. Like, a lot of the, like, not even just romantic relationships, relationships in general, friendships that I had, a lot of the things that I was doing, a lot of the self-sacrificing, a lot of things, like, I was in so many relationships that I just felt so depleted, and I didn't realize why I was attracting that. And I'm like, okay, I remember when I was in fourth grade, I went to commit suicide because I was over it. I was like, I was miserable at home. I was miserable at school. I was like, God dang, like, I know you don't want us to do that, but at the same time, I know you don't want us to be miserable like this. And so I really started, like, that's when I started writing. And I started writing everything, how I felt, everything that I wasn't able to, like, communicate and express. I was like, let me just write it out and get to the bottom of it. So I really start thinking through everything. And it's crazy how some things I used to think about, like, are just now unfolding. And it's so crazy when it's like, dang, I've kind of thought about this, and I wanted to get to the base, the origin of this problem, and I didn't realize it then. But, like, how everything, like you said, just really comes full circle. And it's like, no, I'm still going to be here with you. You're still going to do some things. You're going to, I don't really believe in mistakes, and I don't really have any regrets now. But,
you was a woke ass 9-year-old. But no, in fourth grade, I wasn't thinking about.
I feel like I had to, though. Like, I didn't have an option. I was like, no, I have to figure this out. And I, even like at 22, 23 or something, I was like, you know what? I don't know how to love myself. I don't really know what that looks like for me, you know? But I was like, I'm going to start figuring it out. I don't know what the first step is. And that's where I started, like, a blog that I have, because I didn't know what the first step was. You know what I'm saying? But it was like, I know I owe that to myself. And because I know I owe it to myself, I'm going to take some step. And that might not be the right one for me. But one thing that at the time I started thinking about was, my brother had PlayStation. And so we used to play Crash Bandicoot. That was, like, my favorite game.
I loved Crash Bandicoot. Girl. Do you remember Parappa the Rapper?
No. Oh, my God.
Maybe I'm dating myself. Never mind.
But Crash Bandicoot was so cool. That little thing, that little mask thing that was falling. Like that thing was so cool. But anyway.
And it had a cool move. Like,
yeah, like, dude, that was my game. But on Crash Bandicoot, it was like different levels and everything, right? And the whole time that you're playing, you have to get to a certain checkpoint. As long as you get to that checkpoint,
the box with the question mark. Mm-hmm.
Even if you get to that checkpoint, if you get to that checkpoint, even if you die, you at least get to start back from there. You don't have to start all the way over. And I feel like that's how life feels. Like, we're all on these journeys. We all have different levels that we're trying to get to. It's like, okay, let me work on communication. Then once you finally hone that, then it's like, okay, let me work on transparency and let me work on this and that. And so, just working on those things and, like, recognizing those things in myself made me realize that, okay, a lot of the stuff that I've been doing is really based out of fear and not love. And if God says I am love, and what's the scripture about fear? What is that scripture? Lord, I can't think.
I got my Bible out. No worries. Keep talking.
The spirit has not given, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, something, and a strong mind or whatever. I was like, dude, so many things you wanted to be in a relationship so bad. And it's like, why? Because you're fearful of being with yourself. I was fearful, like, that I wasn't enough. So I'm like, okay, well, if this person likes me, then I must be good enough. And I was just seeking validation in other people instead of in myself. And it was like, no, you gotta check that.
And that's, it's so crazy that you say that, because I feel like, so I just got 3G in here. I'm sorry. Sprint is trash. Anybody who's listening? Yes, Sprint is big ass trash. And they just, girl, we ain't gonna start about that bitch. But anywho, I feel like I'm late to the party. Like, I feel like, dang, I'm turning 32 and I'm just now discovering all of this stuff and I'm just now learning. And I always felt when I was younger that when I got in my 30s, I would want to be like in my 20s again. Like, oh, I ain't in no rush to get to 30 because 20 is lit. But girl, you couldn't pay me to go back and be 20 nothing for no time, not even one day, because I just love the person who I am today. Like, that 20-year-old was so timid, so shy, so dumb, so, you know, this, that, and the other. So just not confident in herself and don't know who she is and doing things for the wrong reason. I remember one time I had a boyfriend. And first of all, I wanted this boy so bad. I seen him at work one day and I was like, oh, he gonna be my bae. And I just made it up. We talked about this last night, yes. How women meet a man and you might think he's attractive or he has some type of quality that you like or admire. And then you go home that night and by the time you wake up in the morning, you done had this man's baby. You done cooked him breakfast.
You got a whole family.
Yeah. You done made a whole life in your head. Yeah.
And you don't tell the guy that because you're too afraid to tell him that, but you kind of.
Cause it's crazy.
It's
crazy. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. You make him responsible for this whole fantasy. And when they don't, when they don't live up to the fantasy that you didn't communicate in the
heart
first place,
broken.
You'd be like, Lord.
Hashtag in shambles.
Oh, but you met this guy.
Yeah. So I met him at my job when I was working at another school and I was like a fresh DPS employee. You know, I still had nice skin and hopes and dreams. And, I met him at my job. And I mean, he was so different from my son's father that I felt like I had to have him. Baby, when I tell you I fasted, I ain't fasted since. Fasted for this man. Mm-hmm. Cause that's what I feel like. Oh, well, when you want something from God, you fast and he give it to you. And so anywho, this guy and I, we started this relationship, you know, it's going on and on. And I remember breaking up with him, calling him at work to tell him that I'm not happy. And he was like, why the fuck would you call me on my job with this bullshit? I'm at work. You pissing me off. And I was just like, well, you need to know. Like, I'm not happy. What you gonna do? And I was like, well, I don't want to be with you no more because you don't make me happy. And you're not trying to make me happy. And it's like, that ain't that man's job to make mm-hmm. you happy. Yeah. You was out here fasting and running around doing all types of crazy stuff, thinking that when you got there, that was it. Like, but you never get there. You never get there. Like, if I walk outside right now and meet my husband and he whisk me off into this fairy tale love story, we still ain't there. Mm-hmm. There's still longer to go. You ain't there till you sitting at the father's feet and he like, y'all going over the movie of your life. And he like, oh, you should have did that different. Or, oh, look at what you did there. I'm very proud of you. Like, that's when you get there. But in this life, we won't ever get there. And I got to be okay with that. Like, my happiness is not rooted in another person. We talked last night. So, like I said, we got together to talk about the podcast and we just ended up talking about our lives. But I was telling Bria, I don't want no codependent nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Like, I done been in relationships and it's like, oh, I can't sleep without you. Oh, I can't eat without you. Oh, I need you to be right here on the couch with me. I can't watch Netflix without you. Like, it's just all these things. And it's like, I used to think that was so sweet. Like, oh, he need me. He want me to come over there and lay down with him. But how much of a chore is that to have to be like another grown ass person and you gotta come up, like I gotta come over here and put you to bed.
You know, so I'm so opposite. Like, I'm the kind of person, I need alone time. And that's another thing, like self-sacrificing. Like, I know I had this best friend and it was like, she would want to be over every day. Like, we would talk every day, multiple times a day or whatever. That was kind of cool. But I'm the kind of, like, when I would want to be alone, I would be like, damn, like, you just always want to be around.
But that is something that I didn't recognize about myself. So when we talk about, like, I feel like I'm late to the party because that's something that I just realized.
But it's not being late to the party though, because it's like you needed that season. Like,
I learned it on God's time.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing to me. Yeah. To see how young you are and be like, dang, I wish I knew that at 25. I probably would have saved myself a lot. But then I can't, you know, at the same time too, it's just like, well, if you knew it at 25, you wouldn't have been at this place mm-hmm. that you are today with all the experience and knowledge under your belt that you already have. Like, people was like, did that ruin marriage for you? Hell fuck no. I know I want to be married again. I know next time what I'm going to do, what I ain't going to do.
You sound like Niecy Nash, because I was watching Black Love on OWN. I love so many, like, Love Is, which you said you're not really feeling or whatever, but she was saying that.
Listen, I be triggered, girl. I ain't got no love. I be up there.
I'll be looking forward. I'll be like, I know that's going to be me. Well, not them, but I'm going to know I'm going to have my own. But she said that she's on her second husband. And so she said that in her first marriage, she said after she got divorced, she said she felt like she could get married the next day. Like, she wasn't ruined by that. She just said, I know what that first marriage revealed some things to me. It taught me some things or whatever. And I know that I'm going to do some things differently. So now I used to really beat myself up about some things that I felt like I should have known, or I should have had a hold on, or some things that I should have done. It's like, look, okay. I know what I know when I need to know it. I am going to be where I need to be at the perfect time, because I look back when I really thought that I wanted a relationship and I was stuck on being in a relationship, and I'm like, oh my God, thank you so much for not allowing me to, thank you for hiding my heart. Because if I would have been in that, I would have just been doing too much.
And all this time, I mean, so I separated from my husband in 2017 in April, and I filed for divorce in August of 2017, and our divorce was final in February of 2018. So it's been about a year and a half, or maybe going on 2 years, that I've actually been separate from him. And so I felt like I was ready to jump into a relationship right away. And I really was focused on it and like, oh, my next man, I can't wait till I meet him. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do all the things that we didn't do, that I didn't get to do with him.
Why did that song by Jill, all the things you're going to do? Anyway, sorry.
I was like, that's how I was feeling. But now I'm just getting to that place where like, I was so empty. I didn't have nothing to offer to nobody else but ass. Like, I ain't, you know, I wasn't in a space to be able to give love to a person, give support to a person, like, to really feel that space that a partner would feel. Like, I don't even know if I'm fully capable of it now, but I'm willing to try, you know. And I know that my next relationship, I'm microwave Molly. I want everything. I like you. Let's get married today. I don't need to know nothing else. Come on. What we doing? But I'm knowing too that I need to kind of back off and be like, you got to give this time to develop. So my next husband, he going to be my friend for a minute. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to go through a season of dating. I ain't trying to live together too soon. I ain't trying to have no babies. I don't think I want to have no babies at all. Side note. But I'm not trying to do all of that. You know, like, you feel like, I've felt in the past like I need to assert my position in this person's life. So, yeah, we gonna have a baby, or we about to do this, or we about to do that. And I ain't really trying to do none of that stuff. Like, I just want to chill. I want to date. I want us to be able to come together. Yep. And watch a movie. Yeah. And then I go back to our house and you stay at yours, mm-hmm. or vice versa, whatever. Or if we going on a vacation and we get off the plane and you drop me off at home and help me take my bags in the house and be like, all right, babe, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm about to go home and take a nap. Like, whatever. Yeah. Because I know that I need to have my own things, because I'll get wrapped up. And then next thing you know, it'd be like, Corey who? I ain't even a person no more. I'm just yo. That's how I was. I was just his wife. Like, there was no me. I love to read. I wasn't reading. Sometimes I like to sing in the shower or around the house when I'm cleaning up. I wasn't doing that. I was just miserable. I was just going to work, coming home every day and crying. Those are the only things that I was doing consistently. And it was like, well, dang, you got this house. You got this family. Why are you so unhappy? Because this ain't what God got for me. This ain't what God got for me. And I remember being hopeless. Like, we ain't gonna never get out the hole. You know, we don't never have enough money. We ain't gonna never have enough money. We ain't gonna never be able to do this. We'll never be able to buy a house together. And God was putting this dream in my heart that I was gonna own a home, and he was never there. And I was just having to deal with that. And this was like probably a year and a half before, you know, we were like in somewhat of a good space in our marriage at that time. And I'm just like, I know God gonna bless me with this home. And he was not there. He wasn't there, Bria.
Did it scare you when you...
It didn't scare me. So at first I kept trying to insert him into the fantasy.
Don't we try to force
insert him into the dream? And it felt so unnatural. So if he was there, he a fly on the wall. He just standing there. He's not giving no input. He's not participating. We at the table signing the loan documents, and he just sitting over here in the corner behind me. I'm the one at the table doing everything. And so that was God kind of showing me like, hey, this ain't for you, sis. You about to get up out this thing. But I was, you know, it's a marriage. So you think like that's big. You don't want to. And my sister, who I love so much, and I'm going to talk about her all on the podcast, and we're going to have her as a guest, because she just, you know, the God whisperer. Like, she the person I go to, like, I don't know, I can't hear from God. And she always get me together. She was going through a similar season, and she had been with her husband her husband got married like a couple weeks after I had Ryan. So, and he's about to be 14. So, and she was super young. She only a year older than me. So she was just in this space where nothing had happened at this moment, but she felt like God was telling her to leave her husband. So she got in prayer about it, and it wasn't like God told me to leave you, so I'm packing my bags and I'm gone. Like, he revealed it to her She was like, God, is this for real? And then he revealed it to her again. And so she got in prayer about it over time. Like, give me a sign. She went to church and she knew her pastor was saying specific things that let her know he was talking to her. And so we sitting in the car and she's telling me this story. And I'm like, dang, I wish God would give me a sign like that. I wish he would talk to me. I wish he would speak to me in that way. And girl, when I tell you God gonna meet you where you at, listen, people. Don't feel like because you are not fluent in divinity or you don't know all the scriptures and you don't go to church that God can't come find you. He will find you on the street. If you're on Instagram, he'll drop a word on there for you. Facebook, mm-hmm. Wherever you at.
Because God says, he says in the word, it says, greater is in me that is in the world. It's already there. Like, tap in. Give yourself a moment to be still.
I was working at... No, I did have a job. I had just come back to DPS, so I had left for a while, and then I came back, and I was watching Grey's Anatomy, and
they
was just
my show. Yes. I stopped after a while because it was like, okay,
yeah. Now I don't watch it anymore, but I'll talk about the first like 9 seasons I was in that thing. But I was watching Grey's Anatomy, faithful watcher of Grey's Anatomy, like I never missed it on a Thursday night. And this night, I'm in my bed, I got my laptop open, I was doing something because I had my real estate license too, so I was doing something with real estate or whatever. And the TV was just on. I kind of watching it, but not paying attention. And Meredith, so the character on the show, his name was Corey. His girlfriend had come into the hospital with some type of illness, and she was like, can you just tell him that I'm about to die? Because he's hanging around. They're like, he loves you. He's out there. He's asking all these questions. He's crying. And she's like, well, I'm not even really that sick. And just tell him that I died. And they're like, what? Right? Go out there and tell that man. I mean, you got to talk to him and tell him that you don't want to be with him no more. So the staff knows that his girlfriend doesn't want to be with him. And Corey just out there like, oh, I just got to pray for her. I love her so much. Oh, I hope she's okay. Oh, he talking to everybody in the waiting room and stuff all about this woman. He just love her so much and blah, blah, blah. And Meredith goes up to him and he sees the doctor. And he's like, oh, my God, is she okay? What's going on with her? Can I go in and see her, please? I'm just so worried about her and I love her so much. And Meredith was like, Corey. And it got my attention. And I looked up and she said, the time you spend together has closed your heart. Do not be afraid. Go forward. Change is good.
Lord.
And this will hurt, but you'll be okay. And I was like, Jesus, is that you? Is that my son? Like, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't stop the TV, rewinded it, listened to it, rewinded it again, put my phone out, recorded it. She was talking to me. Like, God is so faithful because I asked for it mm-hmm. days before.
Yeah.
And then here he come, and I ain't have to go to church to get it. I ain't even have to put my clothes back on or nothing. Like, I got my bonnet on. Yes, I'm in the bed.
Looking ugly. Hair tie, sweatpants, chilling with no makeup on. Gotta be like, here's your word. And that's the thing, because sometimes we don't get the answer that we want that in the time that we think that we want it. It's like, okay, what's going on? I asked for a sign, and I'm the kind of person, I overanalyze every, and I be stressing myself out like, Bria, can you before I feel, I have to think about how I feel. Like I said, I'm a Virgo, so I overanalyze anyway. And I'm super critical, and I have to break things down, and I pay attention to detail. Then I'm a Virgo moon, so it's like, everything has to be so. And I'd be like, you know what? But I'd be asking, like, listen, allow me to attract the answer, the sign that I need, the confirmation that I need.
And make me open to receive it.
Open to receive, but also make it unmistakable. Like, I don't want to deny it in any way. Every overanalyzation that I'm able to make, please just make it plain and clear. Please.
And that's the enemy, because I also know that when God give me a word and then I get to second guessing it mm-hmm. and thinking, oh, well, maybe that wasn't what he said or maybe that wasn't it. He snatch it right back and be like, oh, because the Bible also says, my children hear my voice and they know me and they know me. And I knew it. So what made you go back and second guess? What made you go back and be like, oh, well, maybe that wasn't God because it didn't move like you wanted it to move because it wasn't as fast as. And God is like, babe, we're not going to play that game because we already been there, done that. We had already established. You know my voice. You know when you're hearing from me. That's the enemy getting in your head, making you think it's something else.
No, that's
or
good.
If he can get you to overthink it. Hey, so when you hear the snaps, that means it's a word coming through, a snap moment.
Listen.
But when you hear that word and you know it's from God, ain't nothing else. Satan, get thee behind me. Mm-hmm. You gonna put him up under your feet because you already know. My daddy told me. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's just like your daddy. Your daddy could be, y'all could be at the state fairgrounds, 50 million people around. And if your daddy yell out, Bria, mm-hmm. you gonna know that voice.
Yes.
Cause you've been hearing it all this time. You know your daddy. Yep. That, daddy, where you at? You know yeah. that that's him. So I know.
That's good.
We know. And so then we gotta pray for the boldness to move on that word, to be like, oh, you said that. That feel too big for me. That feels scary for me. It feel like I can't do that. But if you said it, then it's true. Mm-hmm. So we rocking with that.
And then too, it says like, be still and know. Like, listen, be still and know that I am God. I got you. And I say, look, I thought God is my man's. Like, and I don't look at God as like this separate entity. I look at God as like, that's a part of me. That's, you know what I'm saying? God is my man's. You're not going to tell me anything. And I just talk very real. I'm like, look, I'm feeling like this. I don't want to feel like this. You have told me that you are abundant and you know, that you can do all these things. I need a little bit of this right now. I do. Because I'm feeling a little rocky. I'm feeling a little low. I used to get in these like really dark spaces. And now, like before I even get there, it's like I notice little things. It's like, okay, Brie, you got to get. I was just saying, I went to my cousin's church and I hadn't been to church in a long time. And I went to my cousin's church like last month sometime. And what you said is so true. Because in that moment, I feel like God was like trying to reveal some things to me, but I was not listening. And I was just like, no, I got to get it all together. I have to do this. It's all on me and everything. And so, it's like, okay, I'm still gonna be here with you. But if you think that it's all on you and you think that you have to do everything in and of yourself, then go ahead. And so I went to my cousin's church and I was like, exactly what he was saying. I was sitting there like, okay, all right. You know my business. Okay. But after I made a decision, I prayed. I'm like, look, I can't take this on by myself. And I've said that before with the situation that I felt like he was talking to me about, but I wasn't ready to like really release. And in that moment, I was like, look, I got to release it. And it's crazy because people were like, with the particular situation, it was like, oh, you acting weird. Oh, you switching. And it was like, okay. And I wasn't tripping. I was not tripping at all. I was like, okay. Cause God is going to have to do something. And I was just saying like, the situation, the status of the situation now has changed so much. And I tell you every time, it's like, dang, I feel so full in my spirit from it now, because it's like, dang, you really give us the desires of our heart. You really will. Like, we can really cast our cares upon you and just walk away, like leave it at the altar for real. And that's real.
I was coming back from dinner last night when I left you and I got an email. So I'm driving on the lodge. I look at my phone. It's like your Sprint bill is ready to view. I open it up. This goddamn bill is $454. I'm like, mm-hmm. Y'all can have this phone. I'm throwing it out the window. Like, what? Why is my bill so much? Mm-hmm. And I ain't got that kind of money, God. What you trying to do? And then it was like, so you gonna flip out? Or see, God's power is realized in our weakness. Mm. So my bank account's a little weak right now. God gonna come through. Look, I band up the spirit of lack and not enough.
Yeah.
You said all my needs to be provided. And if my need is to cut this goddamn phone off, do it. I don't want to be tied to nothing that's gonna take my discretion away from you. And so I gotta believe I feel like that was a test. And that was God trying to see, are you gonna flip out or are you just gonna trust me? Are you gonna say, God, listen, I ain't got it, but I know you're gonna work it out. Whether it be a payment arrangement, whether it be a financial blessing, whether it be a different phone company, because I'm thinking about that too.
Honey, you know what? Because I have Verizon. I have Cricket now. And I said, and I was holding on to Verizon. I was like, you know what? Everybody was telling, Brie, you cannot afford this. I was going over my data because they don't have, well, I don't know now, but at the time they did not have an unlimited data.
Yes, I remember.
And I was going over and I was like, I can't do it.
Disclaimer, side note, Verizon, y'all crooks.
Like, the service is good.
Yeah, but it's, why does it cost so much?
Right. You'd be like, dang. It did not used to be like this. I had Sprint. I had all of them, child. All of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I cannot afford this. I got Cricket finally, and finally took heed. My mama was telling me, and my brother, because they both had it. And they were like, Bria, it's like $60 a month. Why are you paying 100 something, making payment arrangements, getting your phone? And I was just like, mm-mm, I am not having that. Lord, I was like, listen, I could. Let me humble myself.
Okay.
Okay.
And I got family on my plan. So I was, you know, we're going to have a come to Jesus moment and talk about this. But it was just the same. Mm-hmm. He tried it. But guess what? Your tactics ain't gonna work here, devil. Get your ass up out of here. My daddy gonna pay this bill. Don't worry.
Get your ass out of here.
But ain't that so, like, even what you said about, like, sometimes we throw these temper tantrums or we be like, God, what are you doing? What's going on? I don't have what I need. And it's like, I look at my little cousin, like, my youngest cousin that I'm closest to is 3 years old. And sometimes she will fall out. She will, like, she loves her. She has a Kindle. And then my mom has an iPad. So my mom lets her use that all the time because there's some app on there that's not on the Kindle. So let that thing be low on battery. She will be like, oh, like she will just fall out. And it's like, girl, all we got to do is charge it up. Let's do something else. And like she loves cooking. She'd be like, oh, let's get some ingredients. It's like, look, you have all these other options here. Like we like there's abundance here. You have all these toys. She loves so many different things. Like, let's read a book. Let's color. Let's, you know what I'm saying? It's all these things here. Sometimes you have to get this distraction out of the way to see all that's in front of you.
And that's
and throwing a temper tantrum is like, baby, abundance is here, babe. Just come on. And I don't flip out. I just be like, Giselle, come on.
And that's so weird that you just said that. See, y'all see this energy that we just bouncing off each other? Because I tell everybody that I learned the God. So I'm a metaphorical learner. So you got to put it in terms that I'm going to understand. God always teaches me lessons through my children. Like, put yourself. You now I'm the child, he's the parent. Mm-hmm. And so if I can see that same relationship in between my child and I'm the parent, then I'll be like, dang, God, it was just like this one thing. Did I tell you the story about the cell phone?
Yeah, yeah, with your son.
Yeah, my son, he wanted a cell phone. So my son, he's 13 years old. And when I got divorced from my ex-husband, who is not his father, we moved back home with my parents. So my parents have younger children, you know, like young adult, preteen. My youngest brother is 15 years old. So my youngest brother, he got a cell phone. And my son, he go to school and all his friends got cell phones. All his cousins got cell phones. And he like, I want a cell phone. And I'm just like, you ain't ready for that cell phone. You can't have a cell phone. So we arguing about the cell phone all the time. He just comes sit in front of me. He all mad. I'm like, what's wrong with you? They teasing me because I ain't got no phone. Well, I just need a phone. I want a phone. Can I use your phone? All about this phone. And I'm like, son, you ain't ready for that phone. And if you get that phone, it's going to be the death of you. And I know that. I can see that. So, no, I'm the parent. Like, I know you want what you want. I get it. But that's not good for you. It's not what you need right now. You can't have the phone, period. Then I'm over here crying, falling out because I want a man. Oh, God, please. I'm so lonely. I need some help with these kids and I ain't got nobody. And he like, Hey. Remember writing in that phone? And I had the nerve. Listen, I've really been just in my bag lately because I've been getting mad at God. I've been like, I ain't talking to you. This is a bull crap. I'm sitting at the water. Like, I done went to had this revelation. God, I need you to speak to me. And he like, remember writing in the phone. And just like you, the parent, and you got the foresight. So you know why he can't have the phone. He don't understand it. Mm-hmm. He just want what he want.
Right.
But you, it's your job. I put you in that space as a parent to protect him, to lead him, to guide him. So he's not going to like everything that you do. Same, sis. Mm. I'm your daddy. I can see the future. I made the doggone future. I know what's going to happen. You're going to have to wait on me. And he was like, and when it was time for him to get that phone, didn't he get the phone? And I was like, yes. And then it was like, and then he had to do what? Because I gave him the phone, mm-hmm. but then he had to wait for me to cut it on. Mm. Because I didn't just like, hey, willy-nilly, push you out there. Here you go. I gave him the phone. And then he had that phone for about a month. And he was only using it on Wi-Fi because I was like, I need to see what you about to do. Mm. And God was like, so he still had to wait on you. Mm. Ain't that nothing. Mm. And I'm just over there like, but he got his phone now. So.
still
trying to bargain.
That's real though.
Still trying to figure it out. But God, he always, always, always teaches me through my children. Like he'll put us in an exact parallel situation and be like, call it to my attention. And I'll just be like, okay.
All right.
Okay. All right. And when you in the position of a parent and then you know exactly why something is happening because you did that same something, like it was exactly the same, Bria. Like I knew if you get that phone, you're going to be on Instagram. You'll be giving out my phone number, my address. Like you're going to be doing all of this stuff that you're not ready for because you don't know how to handle it. Mm-hmm. And so God just knew that in that season of my life, I was not ready. And so even though that's what, and he knew that I would use a relationship to distract me from the real work that needs to be done, which is getting my heart and getting myself together. Because a divorce is like a death. You know, you need to, whether you wanted a divorce or not, it's still something. And you were still connected to that person. And if that person was like gum on the bottom of your shoe, it don't matter. You still love them. So you still need to go through that process. And I felt like because this was good and this was God ordained that I was just going like jump off that thing and move, sell on out. And it's like, no, it ain't like that. You still got to go through the steps, sis.
Yeah.
Ain't no usurping the process.
And seeing my parents get divorced, they got divorced when I was in fourth grade. And, now I'm so thankful. Like at the time I was like, I was so dramatic and it, like it hurt my feelings and everything, but I was so dramatic. I remember one time me and my dad had went to, we went to a wedding and I was tearing up and I was like, I just don't want to go to weddings. Like I just, and my dad, he was like, you want to go get some ice cream or something? Like we ain't getting back together. Like this is not happening. But at the, like, what you want?
I will go back.
Oh my goodness.
I can't go back.
Jeez. But I'm so thankful now because, like, I really got to know my parents in a whole different way. Like, I thought I knew my parents at the time, but I'm so thankful, like, the relationships that I have with my parents now. And, like, at first, they couldn't stand each other, you know, they would be arguing all the time, but now they're friends, like they're good friends, like they talk about everything. Sometimes I'll tell my mom something that I didn't tell my dad, and my mom will go back and say, and I'd be looking at her like, let me do that, okay, you made the decision you want to make.
Well, like, ain't this something?
I'd be like, dang.
Look at y'all trying to get along.
But they're friends, and like, they're, and I'm like, I'm really thankful for that. And so, you know, I think for anybody that has gotten divorced, that doesn't mean, like, just because you're not getting along right now that that's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? And at the time, it's crazy because my grandma passed away. Like, she was really sick when I was in the fourth grade. And there was a lot going on, like, fourth and fifth grade. And my life was, like, insanity. But my grandma, my dad's mom, passed away when I was in the fifth grade. And so my mom was really close to my grandma, too. And, of course, my dad was and everything. And so that really, like, brought them together, like, when she passed. And that's another thing I wanted to talk about. And I didn't think I was talking about it now. But her death really made me open my mind to like what I thought I knew about the concept of death, because I don't look at it anymore as like the person is gone. It's like, no, they transcend it. And just like how God says, like when he left earth and went back to heaven, like I'm going to prepare a place for you. I really think that that's what your ancestors and your loved ones do, because she still very much still talks to me. She still tells me things in dreams, all kind of stuff. It's sometimes like I'll hear her voice, just like how I hear my dad's voice. I was just getting some boots like last month and I was at the register and I was paying for it. And the box of the boots had like a handle on it. And so I wasn't going to get a bag. And my dad is quick. He'd be like, that is so ghetto. And I'm like, how is that ghetto? But so the lady was like, do you want a bag? And I was like, oh, no, I'm good. And then my dad's voice popped in my head and I was like,
you know, okay, what? Give me that bag.
Give me that bag. I don't need this bag, but give me that bag. And I told her, I was like, I just hear my dad's voice in my head, like, that is so ghetto. And she was cracking up. She was like, that is just so cute. But my grand, it like, it works in the exact same way. And so, I just really don't look at death the same way. And just like, and that right there, when I realized that, was a testament in so many other parts of my life. And it was like, you're not going to understand something right now, and that's okay not to understand it right now. And when you said earlier about how like, oh, when you were 25 and you wish you would, and it's like, no, you were in that space because at that time that space was serving what you needed to know at that moment. And now, like, it's weird, once I got older, I felt like I was grieving my grandma's loss, because at the time it was so much going on that like I didn't cry in front of my parents, I didn't talk about it in front of my parents or anything. But like later on, it was like I was kind of dealing with that. And so yeah, it's like whatever space that you are in right now, you're in that space for a reason. And just like on Crash Bandicoot, yeah, you're getting to this checkpoint. That checkpoint is going to allow you to get to that next checkpoint and to elevate from that level. And it's all really just a blessing.
And like even if you fall.
Get back up again. Get back up again.
How many lives we get? 15, 20?
But how much time is on this podcast?
I don't know, but we're going to keep talking to Jessica. Come on back. Oh, okay. In here.
I didn't know if they like turn the mics off, we just be talking. And like,
all of a sudden, should it be?
Right. No, all of a sudden, like, you'd be like, yeah, so. And then that's the end of the podcast. So I don't know.
So if we get cut off, guys, that's because we ran out of time. We don't know. We just.
Yeah, Jessica, she's super sweet. She's like doing a bunch of other people's. It's okay.
Yeah, Jessica's working, so we just gonna keep it going, and then when she come back in, we gonna, all right, y'all, time to go. See you next time. So we're still working on the idea for this podcast, trying to find a name, trying to figure out, you know, how often it'll be produced and everything. But I'm really hoping that we can put this episode out because this is just super lit. Like, yeah, we're just in here. Okay, we got 3 minutes, guys.
Isn't that crazy? Even mm-hmm. the spirit is like, we were just talking about.
We were just talking about that. Like, we're just going to keep talking so Jessica comes back because she's working.
Because I was like, look, I don't know if this thing is going to turn off and then we just like take off. No, you're good. You're good. That's just funny that as soon as we said it, then all of a sudden you came in. It just what we were saying before, like everything happens in the right timing. And I was just kind of feeling like, oh, I honestly felt in my spirit like this is kind of coming to a close. Like, this is like getting towards the end, and then bam, Jessica walked in.
And I just want to give a shout out to Podcast Detroit because it's super lit up in here. Like, I like the setup and mm-hmm. everything. This is really dope to be able to have this opportunity. So thank you, Jessica.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Our pleasure. I'm glad you guys came in today.
Yeah. Guys, if you're thinking about doing a podcast, come to Podcast Detroit.
On 11 Mile in Royal Oak.
Yeah, they got one downtown too. It costs a little more. So get your coins together and then go downtown to Podcast Detroit. We're going to be coming to the one in Royal Oak.
Right. This was close.
Yeah, we poor. Public school employees.
Well, we ain't poor. I ain't claiming that. You say that for yourself, child. Look, a lot of people say I'm in between blessings right now. That's all.
Rich in blessings.
Honey.
Rich in blessings only at the moment, but it's coming. But all right, so this is where we leave you. Until next time.
Until next time. That made me think of not Dragon Ball Z, Lord. Dragon Tales took something, something. What is it? I wish.
With all my might. To have a wish.
Something. And at the end, it's like, until next time or something like that. All right, well, that's what I just thought about. But anyway. And really quick, they have this super cool. When I first came in, my brother used to watch Star Wars and they have like this little gold Buddha, which is so, so cool. They have one and it's like R2. That's not R2-D2. What is that one on Star Wars? It's some like robot on Star Wars. I'm going to take a picture of it and look at it. Look it up later. Ask my brother or something. But that thing is so
Jar Jar?
Sweet.
Is there?
No. Jar Jar Binks. No, Jar Jar Binks.
C-3PO.
Come on with the. I was about to say Jar Jar Binks is that little creature looking thing that's like Jar Jar Binks. Mm. Anyway.
Okay. Well, until next time, guys. Be blessed.
Signing off.
Keep growing.